folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Mean Green Comic Machine. We got a special episode for you, so without further delay, let's jump right into it. A pair of plot lines changed comic book mortality forever. Shock followed shock when Spider-Man lost a friend, a lover, and an enemy in a dynamic drama that stunned readers as no comic deaths had before and few have since. We're talking about Amazing Spider-Man. Now, the books that I'm talking about, or issues I should say, this is the collection of Death of the Stacys. This is collecting Amazing Spider-Man 88 through 92 and 121 through 122. So let's talk about the Amazing Spider-Man, the movie, the new one with Andrew Garfield. I felt like this is where they were going with this story, and I really hope that this is where they're going with Amazing Spider-Man number 2. And you'll find out why in a little bit. Because I think if they were to do this, if they were to pull this off in the movie, it would be awesome. As far as comic book nerds go, or geeks, whatever you want to call it, I think they would love it that they would follow this story that close. Now, there have been some differences in Amazing Spider-Man from the comic book, but it's a pretty similar story. Now, be warned, there will be spoilers in the book, in these issues that I will be talking about, and I just want to compare the movie and the books, and since tomorrow, right now it's Thursday night, tomorrow is the release of Amazing Spider-Man number 2. I kind of want to see if we could figure out where they're going with the movie, as far as what parts of the story will they be following. So in the Amazing Spider-Man issues 88 through 92, Spider-Man is fighting one of his deadliest foes, Doc Ock or Dr. Octopus. Dr. Octopus breaks out of jail and he gets control of his arms and starts wreaking havoc on the city. And it's pretty funny because I know Spider-Man's enemies, his rogues, are pretty strong. I think they're probably the best as far as Marvel goes. In my opinion, they're like Batman's rogues. I would say Spider-Man's are like the ones that people recognize more. Doc Octopus, the Green Goblin, and Electro, Rhino, Lizard, Scorpion, you know, everybody knows those foes, just like you could name off Batman's foes. Joker, Bane, Poison Ivy, Catwoman, Penguin. So Spider-Man's enemies are pretty popular. So back in the story, Doc Octopus breaks out of jail. He gets control of his arms and he starts wreaking havoc on the city. And Spider-Man is trying to take Doc Octopus down because he's afraid that he's going to hurt people, and Spider-Man could only do so much. In the meanwhile, Harry Osborn is in the story and he is sick. He had an overdose, he would have died. He took LSD, and I guess previously in earlier issues he had done that, the same thing, and he's really sick. So that's how Harry Osborn comes into the story, and Norman Osborn, Harry's dad, who we all know as the Green Goblin. Now, in these first issues, 88 through 92, I want to compare these issues to Amazing Spider-Man, the first movie with Andrew Garfield, so the recent reboot. In the recent reboot, he falls in love, or he's in love with Gwen Stacy, and later on in the movie, they kind of start dating somewhat, and they have dinner, and their romance starts to blossom. in the comic book, and as far as these issues go, they're already together. They're dating. They're well into their love life, and everything's great. Peter Parker is in love with Gwen Stacy. Gwen Stacy is in love with Peter Parker. So those are the two things that are different from Amazing Spider-Man number one and Amazing Spider-Man Death of the Stacy's issues 88 through 92. Another thing I realized, and I had to rewatch Amazing Spider-Man yesterday again, just so I could kind of, after reading the book or the issues, I wanted to go back and kind of see what were the similarities and what was different, what was the same. Now let's talk about Captain Stacy, Gwen Stacy's dad. In the movie, he is the captain of the police force, and he is kind of like a hard ass, you know, in the movie, and he's really. Him and Peter Parker, when they first meet, they really don't get off on the right foot. Captain Stacy is kind of saying that he's going to bring down Spider-Man and that he's a vigilante and he shouldn't be doing that and that he's just a masked freak. Pretty much acting like J. Jonah Jameson. And Peter Parker says that Spider-Man is just helping the people, that he's trying to help, he's trying to do what the cops should do. So in that conversation, things go kind of sour between Peter Parker and Captain Stacy. So Captain Stacy isn't a big fan of Peter Parker at first. Now in the comic book, Captain Stacy is a fan of Peter Parker. He does like him. He's okay with him dating Gwen Stacy now because in this part of the story they're well into their relationship. So at this point, Captain Stacy had time to already accept it. I'm not really sure how he felt about it at the beginning of their relationship, how he felt about Spider-Man and just overall the situation. I'm not sure how Gwen Stacy felt about it. Now, another thing we notice is in these issues, the enemy is Dr. Octopus. In the Amazing Spider-Man, the movie, the enemy was Lizard. And Lizard is nowhere to be found in these issues. So that's one thing that they switched up. I enjoyed Lizard. I thought he was a cool character in the movie. No complaints. Would I have liked to see Dr. Octopus in the place? Maybe they would have been played a little bit closer to the comic book. Yes, no. Honestly, no complaints there. What about you guys? Would you have, guys, if you're familiar with these stories, would you have liked to seen Dr. Octopus instead of the Lizard? Did you guys even like the Lizard? What did you guys think about him? So let me know. Let me know. Hit up my Facebook page. So let's get back to the issues 88 through 92. Pretty much the whole over the few issues, Doc Ock and Spider-Man are having a city. They're having a fight. It's like a war. They're trying to find one another, and they're just fighting and fighting. It's just like five issues of just them fighting. So there's lots of action in the comic books. Lots of Spidey flips, lots of spider webs shooting, lots of Doc Ock tossing Spider-Man all over the place. And now, I'm not totally spoiling it for you. There's actually something major that happens with Dr. Octopus, and if you guys want to find out what it is, I'll let you guys find out for yourself. I don't totally want to spoil that for you, because it really has nothing to do with the Amazing Spider-Man movie, and I only want to talk about the things that happen on the Amazing Spider-Man movie compared to the comic books here. Now we get to issue 90, The Amazing Spider-Man. Spider-Man did it. It's all his fault. He's a murderer. We have Spider-Man running up the side of a building. There's the people on the street yelling up, "Spider-Man did it. It's all his fault. He's a murderer." And the title of this issue is Spider-Man the Killer. As Spider-Man is walking up the side of the wall, he's holding a man in his arms. We can't see who he is. His face is blacked out. He's in the shadow. So right away, you're like, who is this? Obviously, it's not Dr. Octopus. Maybe it's Dr. Octopus, but I don't think so. Not right away. You can tell it's not him. So it's like, well, who did he kill? Who died? What did Spider-Man do? So still in this issue 90, we still have Spider-Man and Dr. Octopus going at it. Neither side is giving up. They're both giving it all they got, trying to pull out every trick in the book. So they're well into their final battle, you could tell, because things are building up. It's getting tense. Spider-Man figures out a way to take control of a Doc Octopus' hands. This is Spider-Man. I'd better get him before he's killed by his own arms. At this time, Dr. Octopus is out of control. His arms are going all over the place. They're attacking Dr. Octopus himself. Spider-Man, oh brother, there's just no stopping them now. Dr. Octopus, help me, help me. I can't handle them. Spider-Man, don't worry, man. The cops are on the way right now. What are the cops going to do about the tentacles that are out of control if Dr. Octopus can't control him or Spider-Man can't control him? Spider-Man, they'll help you too. A nice cozy little cell and hey, the chimney, you've toppled it. Dr. Octopus, they've gone amok. I'm done for. In this panel, we see Dr. Octopus run into a chimney and his arms, his tentacles just are crazy all over the place and they smack into a chimney and the chimney starts to go down. Spider-Man, the pieces are falling below, but if anyone should be hit, no, no. In the next panel, we see a little boy standing on the street where the chimney pieces are coming down. And at a distance, we see Captain Stacy running towards the little kid saying, "Look out, son! Look out! Please, God, let me not be too late." And in the next panel, we see a pile of rubble. And coming out from the rubble is Captain Stacy's hand, and the boy is standing against the wall, scared. And in the panel after that, we get Spider-Man yelling out, "Captain Stacy!" Let me continue. I'll keep going on here. This is Spider-Man. He saved the boy, but the falling stones, they caught him. He's got to be alive. He's got to. His heart, it's still breathing, but it's so weak, so faint. Captain Stacy, I'm done for, son. Spider-Man, no, you're not. You're not. Spider-Man, there's a doctor in the next building. This is the fastest way if I can get you there in time. And then we have people in the crowd down below saying, it was Spider-Man's fault. He killed him. And now he's taking him away. Spider-Man, hang on, Captain, hang on. I'll have you there in seconds. Captain Stacy, no, my boy, it's hopeless. I beg you, stop. Let me down. You must. I have to talk to you, and there's so little time. Spider-Man, what is it, Captain? I'm listening. Captain Stacy, Spider-Man, what is it, Captain? I'm listening. Captain Stacy, it's Gwen. I'm gone. Oh, no, hold on. My iPad closed. It's Gwen. After I'm gone, there'll be no one to look after her. No one, Peter, except you. Peter, thinking to himself, Peter? He called me Peter? This whole time, Peter Parker's still in his Spider-Man suit, so Captain Stacy just called him Peter. So Peter-Man, he's a Peter-Man. Peter Parker is thinking to himself, he called me Peter. Captain Stacy, be good to her, son. Be good to her. She loves you so very much. You know who I am? Spider-Man says. You must have always known. But you never told. You never gave me away. Why must it happen? Why? Why? For I lost Uncle Ben those long years ago, and now the second best friend I've ever had. Rest easy, sir. Rest easy. I'll love Gwen and cherish her as long as I live. But what if she never ever learns that you died because of me? So Captain, there we go. Captain Stacy died, just like in the movie at the end. Captain Stacy died at the end of Amazing Spider-Man number one, helping Peter Spider-Man with the lizard. But at the end of Amazing Spider-Man, the lizard puts his claws through Captain Stacy's chest, and that's how he dies. Now, here in the comic book, we see what kind of relationship Peter Parker and Captain Stacy had. Because you see, Spider-Man says, "First, I lost Uncle Ben those long years ago, and now the second best friend I've ever had." So that shows you that him and Captain Stacy were pretty close. Unlike the movie, they weren't that close until the end. And now here in the comic book, Captain Stacy tells them to watch over her, to watch Gwen Stacy, to take care of her, to love her. In the movie, Captain Stacy kind of tells him the opposite, tells him to leave her alone, to promise him that he's gonna stay away from her because all this is gonna bring trouble and might bring the end, might bring death to Gwen Stacy. So those are the differences that I noticed between the comic book and the Amazing Spider-Man movie. Also, another thing I forgot to mention, in Amazing Spider-Man, Gwen Stacy knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. He tells her, and she knows who he is. When her dad, Captain Stacy, dies, she doesn't blame it on Spider-Man. She, knows that her dad was doing what he does, and that's, being a cop and putting his life on the line. And he died a hero. In the comics, we have the after Captain Stacy dies, we have the public, along with Gwen Stacy, J. Jonah. They all blame Spider-Man for the death of Captain Stacy. And Peter Parker's kind of torn because he's like, what will she do when she finds out that I'm Peter Parker, that I'm Spider-Man? And, will she stay around? Will she leave? Who knows? So that is also another thing that's different in from the books and the movie.
Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang up. Wherever there's a hang up, you'll find the Spider-Man.
So let's jump into issue 121 of The Amazing Spider-Man and 122. This is where I believe most of the story for Amazing Spider-Man 2 will be used. Let me describe the cover of issue 121. The Amazing Spider-Man. Someone close to me is about to die. Someone I cannot save. My spider sense is never wrong. But who we have on the cover? We have J. Jonah Jameson, we have Norman Osborn, Harry Osborn, Mary Jane, Iceman, we have Gwen Stacy. Not a trick, not an imaginary tale, but the most startling, unexpected turning point in this web slinger's entire life. How can Spider-Man go on after being faced with this almost unbelievable death? So this is where I think Amazing Spider-Man 2 will take place. Earlier I said that in the first few issues, Norman Osborn was Harry Osborn was sick because he was using LSD. Well, that was wrong. It's actually in 121 and 122, where Harry Osborn is sick because he was taking LSD. Harry Osborn is out of it. He doesn't know what's going on. He thinks he's imagining things. He's just sick. He's really bad. He's in bad shape. In Amazing Spider-Man 2, we kind of get a look at Harry Osborn from the trailers, and He seems to be normal. He seems to be, nothing's wrong. Now we don't know that that could be just that cut. Later on, we got to see, does something happen? And by the way, is he going to play the Green Goblin, or is Norman Osborn going to play the Green Goblin? Because the Green Goblin is Norman Osborn. So, because when Harry comes back, he's the Hobgoblin. When Harry takes over the mask, he's Hobgoblin. If my memory serves me right. So that's something to look forward to. Because it kind of looks like when they show the face of the Green Goblin in the trailer, he kind of looks like Harry Osborn. But we'll see. But issue 121, let me talk about this. Harry is sick. He's Peter Parker's roommate, so he's staying in his room. Mary Jane is there. Gwen Stacy's there. Actually, sorry, he's back at his dad's house. Harry Osborn is back at his dad's house. Mary Jane is visiting. Gwen Stacy's visiting, and Peter Parker stops by. We have a panel here with Peter Parker walking and an arm reaching out and grabbing his arm. "Just a minute, young man. I told you not to go near my son." Peter Parker. "Mr. Osborn?" "Look, Mr. Osborn, I'm not out to hurt anyone. I just came here to see if Harry's all right. That's all. If you want me to go, that's cool. It's your house." Harry, Norman Osborn. "You better believe it. Believe I want you to go, Norman Osborn. "You better believe I want you to go, Parker. I don't want to see your face ever again. It's your fault, Harry Zill. Your fault these terrible things happened to my son. Your fault. Your fault." Now here we get a little flavor of the writer. The writer in this issue is Gary Conway. But Stan Lee is very involved in these issues. He wrote the number 98 through 22. And he wrote... Gary Conway wrote 121 and 122. So here's a little flavor of the writer after this whole fiasco is going down with Norman Osborn and Peter Parker. After Norman Osborn yells, "It's your fault, your fault." Now we go into the little text that the writer has put in. "And as he stares at Norman Osborn's fury-written features, Peter finds his mind swirling with memories. Memories of another day, months ago, when he and Osborn faced each other in different guises. Peter Parker as the web-spinning Spider-Man and Norman Osborn as the Green Goblin. The Green Goblin, the only villain who knows Spidey's secret, a secret buried within Osborn's memory of his own hidden identity in amnesia." So, Harry Osborn's mad at Norman Osborn's mad at Peter Parker right now. But I guess he has amnesia, so he doesn't remember that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And so I guess he's kind of sick. In the movie Amazing Spider-Man 2, we see that Harry Norman Osborn is very ill. And in the Amazing Spider-Man number 1, they hint at it. Dr. Kurt Connors is doing trying to come up with a serum to help. To help Norman Osborn. I don't remember if we get a clue as to what it is, but maybe we'll find out in Amazing Spider-Man 2. After this goes down, Norman Osborn kicks Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker out and tells them he doesn't want them here. So he kicks them out. And Norman Osborn is going kind of crazy. He's starting to imagine Spider-Man like in his house, and he tries to fight Spider-Man, but there's nothing there. Now back here at the little narration box, and then first of all, let me say, Norman Osborn is starting to freak out, and here goes the narration. "And then all at once, the delicate tissues of Norman Osborn's memory collapse, and a flood of images, past and present, rush through his pressured brain, reminding him, tormenting him until he can no longer stand it. Or until he can stand it no longer. Like a man ridden by some demon hag, he races from his son's room, runs out into a night moist with the hint of tomorrow's rain. His footsteps make a drum beat on the cracked pavement of Manhattan's Lower East Side, but he seems literally unaware of the sound. Aware only of an inner sound, a long trailing moan, the first beginnings of his ultimate nightmare. Here, Norman Osborn, here, this is a place. A place I'd almost forgotten. What a fool I've been not to remember it before. Spider-Man is my enemy, my mortal foe. Of all the men on Earth, he is the one I'd most despise, for he is the man who keeps me from myself. He is the one who made my mind forget that I am the Green Goblin. The Green Goblin. And we have Norman Osborn back in his Green Goblin, guys. More narration. Minutes later, in the apartment Peter shares with Harry Osborn, we find... here's Gwen Stacy thinking to herself, "Poor Harry, I wish there were something I could do to help him. If only Peter would come back so we could talk about it and maybe understand what went wrong in Harry's life to make him what he is." Narration. For Gwen Stacy, Peter's beloved, the answer to that question is about to become abruptly clear. And we have Spider-Man. He's trying to track down the Green Goblin because he makes it back to his apartment where Gwen Stacy was hanging out, if we remember. And it turns out that Green Goblin leaves a little present for Peter Parker, a little pumpkin bomb or whatever they're called. And he leaves Gwen Stacy's purse behind. So it looks like Green Goblin has abducted Gwen Stacy, and Spider-Man finds this out, and he is on his way to the George Washington Bridge. Spider-Man, it figures Osborn would pick something named after his favorite president. He's got the same sort of hang-up for dollar bills. So he goes up to the George Washington Bridge, and Harry Osborn is standing there, Norman Osborn, Green Goblin, waiting for Spider-Man. They start to get in a fight. Spider-Man sees Gwen. He yells out, "Gwen!" She's in a shock of state. She's like out of it. She's just there. Norman Osborn and Peter Parker start fighting again. The Green Goblin jumps on his glider, starts flying towards Spider-Man. Spider-Man moves out of the way. Green Goblin bumps into Gwen Stacy, and she goes over the bridge. She starts to fall towards the water. But Spider-Man yells, "Gwen! No! I've got to catch her. Stop her fall before she hits the water. I've got to. His web's shooting down at her. "I did it." He caught her by the legs. And Gwen Stacy's neck snaps in the rebound of him catching her. "Spider powers, I love you." At this time, he doesn't know yet because he's pulling her up. "Not only am I the most dashing hero on two legs, I'm easily the most versatile. Who else could save a falling girl from certain death?" "Gwen?" "Hey, kid, what's wrong? Don't you understand? I saved you." "You can't be. No. Oh, no. No, no. Don't be dead, Gwen. I don't want you to be dead. I saved you, honey. Don't you see?" And so we see that Gwen Stacy's dead. And it's... we go into issue 122, and it's the night Gwen Stacy died. Now, my question to you is... Now, probably by the time you hear this, you might have heard the podcast before. You might hear the podcast after. If you heard it before, even if you heard it after, you know, you think Gwen Stacy will get killed off in Amazing Spider-Man 2. From the trailer, I do remember seeing a certain quick clip where Spider-Man has his mask off and he's like on his knees yelling. So... could Gwen Stacy die? Would they have another Stacy die in the second part of the movie? Because, like I said, it's kind of close following these. 88 through 92, Captain Stacy died, like in the first Amazing Spider-Man movie. And now they're having the Green Goblin come back, which is like issue 121 and 122. Might the Green Goblin kill Gwen Stacy? I'm excited to see that. Not to sound weird or demented or whatever the word is, but I hope they do. I think that would be a good twist, but most likely they won't. That's my thing. Most likely they won't. But if they do, they might start to bring in Mary Jane. Mary Jane. Oh, so Mary Jane is in this movie, I believe. I if my memory serves me correctly, I believe that she's being introduced in this movie. Issue 122. Spider-Man Peter Parker is nuts about what happened. He is blaming it on the Green Goblin. He is after the Green Goblin. He is going to kill the Green Goblin. After what happened with Captain Stacy, now Gwen Stacy, he just can't live without her, and he is going to avenge Gwen Stacy's death. In issue 122, Peter Parker is searching Green Goblin, Norman Osborn. He can't find him anywhere till finally he does come across the Green Goblin, and him and the Green Goblin start getting into this epic fight. Now here, I want to take it back to the older movies, the Tobey Maguire movies, the Spider-Man number one, where, you know, I think it's Spider-Man number one, where him and Green Goblin go at it, Norman Osborn. At the end, they have an epic fight, and we remember how did Green Goblin die in that movie. How did he go down? So this is another thing, will Green Goblin die in Amazing Spider-Man 2? Will he? Will he not? Will they kill him off the same way they did in Spider-Man Spider-Man 1? Because if you remember, Green Goblin was down for the count. Spider-Man was standing in front of him, and Green Goblin summons his glider to stab Peter Parker in the back. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, does a backflip, I think, over the glider, and the glider runs into Green Goblin and pins him to the wall and pretty much kills him, because he stabs him right through the chest or the stomach, and that's how Green Goblin dies, and that's how Green Goblin goes down in issue number 22. So do we think Green Goblin will go down in this movie? Do we think it will happen the same way? Will they copy it from Spider-Man, from the first Spider-Man movie? And it's crazy. And after reading this, because I had never read these issues before, I was like, oh man, when I saw these last panels, I was like, that's what happened in the first Spider-Man. I didn't know how the Green Goblin died. I had no idea. So seeing this, it was pretty cool. So now I'm like, will they kill him off a different way in Amazing Spider-Man 2 if he dies? Because we know they're also getting ready for the Sinister Six. So they probably can't kill off the Green Goblin. And the other villains that are in it, Electro, Rhino. Interested to see how they'll come into play into this story. Because, like I said, it seems to be following... these stories, the death of the Stacys. And I probably ruined the major part of these books for you, but there's still other little things in here and that I didn't mention, so you could still pick up these books and read them yourself. But yeah, so pretty much I just wanted to compare the Amazing Spider-Man to the first part of the death of Stacy's, and to try to compare to see where a second Amazing Spider-Man is how is it gonna follow this story, if this is a story that I believe they are following. So I can't wait to see the movie. I will be seeing it tomorrow, Friday. I will be there at 1:30 p.m. watching the movie. Already made plans. And so hopefully you guys get out there this weekend and let me know what you guys thought about the movie. Your predictions, if you want to predict anything before the movie. Yeah, let me know. Visit my Facebook page, facebook.com/TheMGMT. Or you could Twitter. I'm on Twitter. You could tweet me at TheMGCM. So facebook.com/TheMGCM and Twitter at TheMGCM. It's funny because you when you read the narration parts, you feel that Stan Lee, the way he talks in his interviews, the way he talks on his little clips or whatever, it's kind of the way he writes. It's really similar to the way he writes, the words that he used. So I thought that was pretty cool. reading that, and so the writing is right there. From the, when was it, 60s or 70s? I think it's the 70s. Yeah, it looks like 70s. So I love the artwork. I really enjoy this era, this age of artwork. I think it's really cool. I myself would like to learn this style of artwork. There were some little things that look kind of weird. But it's awesome. So I really enjoyed these few issues. I got this collection on Comixology. They had specials, sales when Captain America came out. So they might have sales when The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is out. So check this weekend, see if you guys want to pick it up. But you could also pick up the book. I think there is a trade that's called The Death of the Stacys. So that's something I would actually want in a print. So I will be looking for that. But yeah, again, check it out. Let me know what you guys thought of the book. If you read it, let me know if you have read it already. What did you think? What do you think they're going to follow as far as the movie goes? Let me know what you thought about the movie. And yeah, that's it. Amazing Spider-Man, Death of the Stacys. All right, guys. Well, that has been the end of the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Our little ramblings, a little babbling of Spider-Man. I really enjoyed this. I enjoyed reading the books, like I said before. Don't forget to visit my Facebook page, my Twitter. And again, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you make it out to the movie. Happy Free Comic Book Day. Hopefully you make it out there and get your comic books. And if I don't see you before that, happy May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. So guys, thanks for listening again. Thank you very much. Don't forget to leave those comments, reviews, visit my Facebook page and all that good stuff. But until the next time, enjoy reading those books and have fun.